or not. Somebody just texted me, no sound. Got it now. Sorry, folks. This little guy right here, this was taken this morning. We don't put masks on our grandchildren. Davey's going in for what they call adenoids. It's right above the tonsils. He has sinus issues. They're gonna put him under today. That's my heart and soul, that little guy right there. So I'd ask, is Dale in here? Pastor Dale, you in here? I asked somebody to lift up my little Davey.
I'm in here, brother.
Lift him up for me. He's gonna go in and about. Well, he's in there right now. I think they're gonna start about 6:30. It's probably gonna take about an hour or so. So Dale, would you just pray for little Davey for me, please?
Amen. Father, we do lift up David to you, Father God, and we just pray your anointing over him, over that surgical room. Father, get anything seen and unseen, bacterial or whatever. And Father, that the hands of the surgeons themselves will be guided by you. Father, those things that need to be done will be done. I'm very grateful that you've given the doctors wisdom to do good things like this. And Father, I pray for an expedient recovery. And Father, I pray that his sinuses and his everything that deals with the sinusitis and things that he deals with in his life will be completely healed, Father. And I thank you for him. He is going to recover 100% in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. That's a little man of God there. That's a little prophet right there. Got to keep that little guy healthy, amen, wealthy, and everything. So you folks understand that, right? Ain't nothing like a grandson grabbing a grandpa's heart. So we pray for little Davey. I got to show you this one now. This is an all-time classic. So I bit the bullet yesterday, wore a mask, got to wear a mask to get on a plane, right? Look what was sitting beside me. What's that, Ben?
Two masks, remember?
Look at this thing that was sitting on the plane beside me. Zoom in a little bit more on that, Spitzer, if you can. Folks, I'm not making this up. This guy has I don't even know what that mask is. I don't even know what it is. And he's got a mask under it. I mean, this makes you feel real confident about sitting on a plane, doesn't it? Look over there at that guy. He has a mask under. He has a mask under. He has a mask over. And I don't even know what that purple thing is coming out of his nose. I don't even know what that is. So I just wore a normal mask. I don't know whether he was protecting me from him or him from me. But that's...
I'm looking at my computer. A respirator mask.
Unbelievable. By the psyop that's going on. Listen, while I'm on that subject, I want to throw something up there. Spencer, throw up there the, which one was it? Coach, where did you put that? Oh, it's a new one I just sent you, Spencer. I'm sorry. This was done by Pastor Matt Twellen today. It's called This Great Evil. This is about 3 minutes talking about this great evil of masking our children. So I want you to know that David was not masked because of the virus. David was literally sitting in the, getting ready to go and have surgery done. We do not put masks on our children. We don't do it. Hang on a second. Tomorrow, I'm going to try to have Bradley Dean on with us. You guys know Bradley Dean is a friend of our show. Bradley Dean was supposed to be down here in Texas with us today. But when he showed up at the airport, they required a mask, he and his son, and he wouldn't put it on. And, got in a back and forth, and they threatened with arrest and charging him with a federal crime for not wearing a mask. Wouldn't let him on the plane. He wouldn't put on a mask. And as I said to John Diamond yesterday, here's the truth of what we deal with, see. Pushing back against this stuff is never convenient. It's never convenient. And I know Bradley, and I know his character, and I know he would have pushed back. But the reality of it is when you push back, there are consequences to it. Arrest, messing up your plans, your trip, all that stuff. So you think, man, is this the time to do it? Is this really the time to do it? And Bradley chose not to do it, chose not to come down, be part of this event, because he wouldn't wear a mask. And so I'm going to try to get him on tomorrow and talk a little bit about what it was he just went through. Because, folks, it's going to get worse and worse. It really is. Pastor Matt Twella made this video. It's about 3.5 minutes. Just made it, just hot off the presses, called this great evil. Go ahead and play that for me real quick there, Spencer, if you could.
The good old days recently, when you could go out with your family and you didn't have to wear a face mask, you know, feeling like you're isolated or separated or strangled from the people you're with. And there's a lot that you lose in communication and relating with others when that needed interaction of smiling and sad and angry, frustrated and confused, naked faces is obscured. You know, how do you read people now? I find myself just often trying to avoid eye contact. I have to mentally step into that place of smiling at and interacting with the mask. Whereas before it was completely natural to smile at people and interact with other image bearers of God. I refuse to wear them. My children are worth it. I never want them to think that it is normal to feel isolated from the person you are facing. I watched as some elderly ladies in the grocery store approached my 1.5-year-old that was shopping the other week. And they cooed and shrieked with joy when they saw her. And I was looking at her and trying to encourage her, saying, you can smile, you know, go ahead and say hello. And she just sat there not responding. And she looked disgruntled. So I kind of followed her gaze as I was telling her, it's okay, you can say hello. And I realized why she wasn't responding. As the people she was looking at, she couldn't make out their faces. My heart sank with that realization. My child couldn't make out that the women were happy or even that they were trying to talk to her. The muffled voices from under their masks were confusing to her. She needs to see their faces to understand what they mean. I mean, we are the ones who are ultimately responsible for the well-being of our children. It's not the state. It's not the health experts or the scientists who are telling us what to do. It is us as parents. And through the years of knowledge and study, we've never seen this type of isolation and mental subjection with staying home to stay safe, masking and social distance, and we've never seen it before. And so think about what you're doing to your child. Think about the effects of wearing a mask and social distancing and being isolated from others is having on them.
By the way, that was that was Matt Truella's daughter-in-law. No, I'm sorry, daughter. Many of you know Jason Storms with Operation Save America. That's Jason Storms' wife. Jason Storms is Matt Truella's son-in-law. And those were their, I believe they have 9 children, maybe 11 children. And pretty powerful message that Matt put out today. I don't want to get bogged down on masks, but I got about 4 different things I wanted to show you on masks today. I'm not going to do it. Let me switch gears here a minute. Again, when I get in my car, I'm literally sitting in a car till the sun comes up. Working my computer and that kind of stuff becomes a little bit more of a challenge when we're doing this. So, I want to talk a second about what was it? Coach, you just lost the train of thought. Oh yeah, yesterday's show was unbelievable, unbelievable. When I walked up out of my multi-million-dollar studio and went and sat down with my wife, I said, because she listens upstairs as the show's playing, I said, did you hear the dialogue? Did you listen to that dialogue that went on that show yesterday? It's like it wasn't even a show. I didn't even need to be there. the wisdom that came out of the people during that show was unbelievable. And you know what? I really believe that the word says that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as the day approaches. Because why? In the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. And I just sat back and I sat on the plane yesterday and I re-listened to that show. It's unbelievable, that interaction. Folks, why is that interaction so missing in our churches? Why is it? Why is it that when we're curious about our stunted growth and we go to church, you sit in a building and the pastor's the only guy that talks. He's the only one that's allowed to say anything. The rest of us sit there, not even allowed to ask a question. And one of the things that really struck me yesterday when I came down here to this conference, I saw the people last night. There's probably 200, 250 people in there. And it has to do with filmmaking and media. And I mean, it's pretty exciting to see some of the things going on. But I was really, really struck about the crowd is really young. I would say 30-something and maybe even under 30-something, which really, really encouraged me. But another way, it discouraged me. Because I had to ask myself, what kind of Christianity are these people making movies about? Are you with me? Somebody give me a thumbs up. And they're in there and their hearts feel they got a lot of zeal. They got a lot of zest to them. They want to do good films. And I'm wondering, Lord, is this good? The films that they're going to make, are these good?
Amen.
I leaned over to my buddy, John Diamond, because John really, really gets it. And I said, John, do you think any of these film producers, oh, there's the light. Do you think any of these film producers will make a film of a masculine Jesus? Do you think any of them will be? A real light. Do you understand, friends? When Jesus walked into the temple, and he cleared the temple. And he said, called him what? Brood of vipers, whitened sepulchers full of all dead men's bones and all corruption. Yeah, lock up the kingdom of God. You don't go in yourself, nor do you let others go in. Do you think he said that with a soft, loving, caring voice? Can you even imagine the eyes of Jesus, the fiery eyes of Jesus, as he was speaking to those Sadducees and those Pharisees? Can you even imagine? And can you imagine that when Jesus went into the temple and he came out of the temple, they said what? We never heard anybody ever speak like that. Were they talking about just the words? Or were they talking about the power and the force and the emotion behind the words? And the Jesus that we're sharing in the world today, you know what it is, right? You know what it is? You know what that Jesus is? And so I had such mixed feelings. Lord, help these folks make great videos and movies and podcasts. Great things for the glory of God. But which God?
Hey, Coach. Which God?
Somebody come on in there. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, you know, what you just said just prompted or pricked something in my mind. Jesus, when he cleared the temple, he didn't go in the temple and clear it. He went in the temple and then went out, and over the night, he made a whip. Now, he didn't do that on his own, because Jesus in John chapter 7 tells us that every action he took, the Father told him to do.
Yes.
God told Jesus, his son, to go make a whip and put it on them folks.
In fact, Larry, he went over and counted to 10. Right? He made that whip. Now listen, folks, he didn't clear the temple. He didn't run them out. He just went in and he upset some tables and the temple cleared. He didn't run in there and tell people, get out of here. You guys get out of here. Now look, I'm not talking about, I hear some of you, okay? A balanced Jesus. A balanced Jesus. A Jesus Christ full of every emotion that we can imagine. And the Jesus that we see presented in most of America as a laid-back semi-hippie. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Never gets mad, never gets angry, always under control.
Amen, Coach.
Jesus is all God and all human. We can't understand that. We can't even explain what that means. But that means that when the word enthusiasm, if we were to go into a word search or what do they call that? A hermeneutic, but that's not the right word. If you were to look up the word enthusiasm, you would find entheos being what? God. So when you are enthusiastic, it is people seeing God in you. How did we get such an emotionless Savior? How did we? And unfortunately, we got a Savior, an unbalanced Savior of love and tolerance and diversity and never getting angry and never getting upset and loving everybody. And
hey Coach.
yeah.
What is that they're not preaching the kingdom of God, or preaching the gospel, but not the kingdom of God.
It is Paul.
The full realm. That's the fullness of the gospel.
The full counsel of God. They're not preaching that full counsel. Come on in, Clay, and then unknown after Clay. Come on in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Coach, that I watched the greatest story ever told about Jesus this weekend. And I don't think I've seen that since I was a little kid. I think that movie came out in 1965. And that was probably the most prominent Jesus film when I was a kid. And I could barely watch that thing. The Jesus that was portrayed in that movie didn't look like he ever did a push-up in his life.
Amen. Right?
And he barely spoke. He walked around like a zombie. And, that's what people used to, I guess in the 60s and 70s, that was who they believed Jesus was because of that movie. And I think there was a spot in the movie, I think it was maybe King Herod or somebody like that, that asked Jesus who you are. And he said, I'm Jesus. And he said, I thought you were John the Baptist reincarnated or something. And I'm thinking, John the Baptist was probably a pretty tough dude. So,
how did they ever confuse Jesus with John the Baptist, huh?
If he's just a quiet guy and out of shape and not rugged and all this kind of stuff, there ain't no way they could have confused the two of them.
Brother, they have so sissified him. Listen, I don't know what he was like, but if he was all human, what did they say? Never has a man spoken like this. I understand the wisdom of the words. I understand that. But you notice this, that most places he went, they didn't mess with him. There's some light. They didn't mess with him. Yeah, they would call the temple guard, all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, nobody wanted to stand up and drop him, right? Throw a right cross and knock him down and say, shut up, dude. Now, wasn't much of that going on, was there? So there was something about him that I believe we're really missing. Unknown, come on in. Then Rochelle and Paul. Go ahead, unknown. That's if you meant to be in here. I don't know if you did or not. Go ahead, Rochelle. I know you meant to.
Good morning, team. Yeah, everybody, remember, Jesus was a carpenter. I'm sure this man was built. I don't think he was wimpy at all. And number two, there's somewhere where it's given it describes Jesus in five words, and right in the middle is slow to anger as an attribute. So think of how controlled anger's got to be slow to anger. Have you ever been around a person who's always got it under control and then they get mad? It's scary. So I'm sure it was a flip side to a coin, but all righteous anger. I would love to see it, actually.
So Stephanie said, boy, is that Stephanie, great post. Can you imagine the look on the eyes of the people when Jesus walked into that temple with a whip? Can you even imagine what must have gone through them? It was so intimidating that nobody tried to push back, did they? Nobody did. because as Stephanie would say, there was an aura around him. There was some magnetism, an energy coming off of him. Wow, folks. Oh, Lord. Lord, help us to see as you really are. Come on in, Paul Webb, then Tim, and then Mark.
Hey, Coach, you know, Clay was talking about the movie. Well, you know, back then, back in the 60s, a lot of it was the Jesus movement. You had a lot of hippies. And so a lot of them made Jesus look like a Malibu beach bum. And he was real wimpy looking. And that's the way they portrayed him. So I think that's where a lot of it is.
How would you act, Paul, if you knew you got about 6 days to live? How would you act if you knew when he entered into Jerusalem, he didn't know exactly when, although maybe he did win. He knew this thing wasn't going to end good. Don't you think that he would be full of energy, full of life, every bit of zeal coming out of it? But we don't. We have such a, oh, my goodness, the wimpy Jesus we have. Tim or Naomi, which one then, Mark?
Tim, Coach, I'll tell you, I'm teaching men and women. God wants us to be, and he demonstrated that with the whip, God wants us to be a-holes when it's the proper time to be one and to be mature while we do it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he was called the Rock of Offense. The Rock of Offense, Lord Jesus, was the Rock of Offense. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, I wanted to relate to another Jesus bold story. Think about Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They got them bricks that are bought and sent to Boston or wherever they go. They get the bricks, right, Coach? And they throw them through the windows. Who's going to stand in front of them when they're all charged up and say, whoever's not racist, throw the first brick? How did Jesus subdue all of them charged up people when they'd already gotten their brick in their hand?
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
That's the boss move, Coach.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, listen, I don't want to stay on this. You get the point, right? You get the point. I got a couple things I want to show you today. I just want to show you. Let me switch gears. This is a real quick shift. So if it snaps your neck, I apologize, okay? It's important, though. I want to show you how media censors, okay? I want to show you a quick video here. It says priest, Spencer. All it says is priest. I watched this video the other day, posted it to CoachDaveLive.com, to our videos, all right? So I sent this link to Spencer today. Hang on a minute. Hang on, Spence. So I sent this link to Spencer. Throw it up on the screen, Spencer. What does it say? The video has been removed from YouTube. What?
Imagine that.
That video has been removed from YouTube. We're talking about censorship here and why it's important to own your own data, which we do here at Coach Dave Live. Jared archives everything on our website we own. If YouTube shuts us down tomorrow, if Facebook shuts us down tomorrow, we still have our data. I'm going to prove it to you, okay? So about a week ago, I sent to Jared. I said, hey, Jared, post this, will you? Post this. Spencer, click on Priest Speaks. I want you to see that we have archived this video that YouTube has pulled down because YouTube doesn't want this played. Now, Spence, if you can, I want you to play this at double time. Can you get it, bud? Okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, it's off of our own website. It took a bit for it to load when I did it as well. So the reason I want to get this up is I'm going to lose my power over here at my computer. So I don't want to forget about this. I want to make sure we get this up because this is really, really, this is a priest in Rome, I believe, who is blowing the whistle on what is really going on. Okay. So when Jared, that's a good thing. Why is that so slow to load on that? I wonder, Jared. I'll talk to you about another issue I saw on the website. Not criticizing you, Jared. God bless you. In fact, Jared, I'm going to try to get you. John Diamond's going to try to get you down to this conference next year and let you do a presentation. to these people on exactly the saving, preserving their data. So we have it up there now. Folks, this is we're going to play this at double speed, but I want you to understand, if you come across videos like this that might be taken down, let me know. Send it to me. We'll capture it. We'll never lose it. So you just saw that video no longer available on YouTube, but it sure is at CoachDaveLive.com. Go ahead and play that for us, Spence. Can't hear it.
So I'm going to tell you in English here what is really going on. It's called the Masonic takeover of the world. Everything deep, dark, evil, twisted, perverse, sadistic, masochistic, evil, and satanic that has been lurking in the lodge, the Masonic lodge, and in the hearts of the people who run it is now coming forth into the open day. They founded their lodges in 1717. They spread around the world. They infiltrated institutions. They overthrew governments. Especially, they hate Catholic monarchies. They've infiltrated the church, church institutions, Knights of Columbus. They founded their own banks in New York City, Chase Manhattan, J.P. Morgan, Brown Brothers Harriman, Citibank. They took control of the Republican and Democratic parties. They started the First World War and the Second World War, and they controlled all the sides of them. They destroyed Austria because the emperor dared to veto the election of Rampolla Tindaro, their Masonic candidate for the papacy, in 1904. And so the cardinals chose Pius X, and for that crime, the Masons destroyed Austria, the only nation that ceased to exist after the First World War. But now that's their ultimate scandemic. The Bilderbergers, that's the Rockefellers, this is total world control. They want control of everyone. They want to enslave us. They just don't want to own us. They want us to be evil like them. They want to take us to hell like them. They want us to love evil like them. They are pedophiles in the worst sense. They want everyone to be a pervert. They want everyone to be involved in evil. They want everyone involved in killing themselves. That's why they want you to suffocate yourself to death, wearing a diaper on your face. That's why they want you to willingly stick out your arm and take chemicals injected in you that will destroy you, change what you are, make you a GMO creature. That's why they're racing to install all manners of high-tech equipment so that far beyond what is necessary for cell phone communications, I can't even say the name, this channel would be blocked. But they want the control because they want to be able to, through their computers, their few families, their few hundred people around the world, they want to be able to control all the automobiles and all the machinery and all the jobs and eventually everyone's own mind. They built the internet. The internet is one of their tools of control because they know that the more we spend time talking to each other through this method, like I'm doing now, the more we get programmed by it and controlled, because this is not real. Real is who would be next to me, okay? I have been doing the nightly prayers in front of the Basilica for nearly 10 months and transmitting all along. And the reason why no one comes is because I transmit. That's why no one comes. People don't realize. You think that this is real, and so you stay home. You think that what you do on the internet is real, and so you don't do anything. It's the ultimate satanic deception. And so that's why I'm doing a totally politically incorrect broadcast right now, because I hope they cancel my channel. I hope they cancel me, because this is their method of control. This is not reality. We need to enter into the streets and take down these evil governments controlled by these evil people. Don't take the vaccine. It will kill you. If not the first one, the second one. But there's a principle more important than whether one vaccine will harm you or not. The principle is you're giving your life into hands of people who are known mass murderers. The Masonic lodges have engineered the deaths of hundreds of millions of people. These are people that make Adolf Hitler look like an altar boy. I think Adolf Hitler was an altar boy. But these people are extremely evil. Don't trust them with anything. It is a sin to put more trust in wicked people than in honest people. Whoever trusted Jesus Christ the way they people that trust these globalists. So God is putting for us a life and death. We can believe Jesus Christ and live honestly and naturally and morally upright, or we can become the total perverse puppets of a few hundred families around the world and so deceived and twisted that we think we're free while we're killing ourselves. And the decision's coming quickly, because in January they plan to vaccinate everyone in Italy, whether they like it or not. And in the United States, the military's announced that it can vaccinate everyone in the country in 24 hours. And they were told to prepare to do that by Donald Trump, not by Joe Biden. But both of them will command it when they get in power, unless one of them is convert. I think only one probably could convert, Donald Trump. The other one, I think, lost his soul long ago, if he still has one. So this is what the world is facing right now. It's not a small thing. We are in a very apocalyptic scenario. It might be the final apocalypse that John spoke of. So like it. Don't take the vaccine. You can use force to prevent yourself from being vaccinated. You can use lethal force. That's perfectly legitimate because the right of self-defense. If someone's trying to kill you, you can. If the only way you can prevent that is killing them, that's perfectly legitimate. That's Catholic teaching. It's always been the teaching of the Church. Don't accept the big Masonic lie that we Christians can never use violence, or that violence is always evil. Why can they kill hundreds of millions of people, but we can't defend ourselves? Come on now. Christians have always held the principle that you need to get rid of the rot before the rot spreads. If you ran into an individual like one of these Freemasons in the Middle Ages, these people would be hung and quartered before sunset in their village, because everyone would recognize that these people are absolutely evil witches. You don't have anything to do with them, and you don't tolerate them, and you certainly don't give them a chance. You certainly don't give them a chance to spread their evil lies. Okay. It's one thing to speak your mind. It's another thing to use free speech to plan and plot the murder of hundreds of millions of people. Billions, now they're planning to kill billions. We, the people, have to stop them. We cannot endure this. We cannot tolerate it. And we can't be peaceful about it. Yes, we must pray God, because we won't have this victory without him. But we must fight. Okay. And there are a lot more than us than them. There's nearly 8 billion of us, and there's only a few thousand of them. So there's no way they can survive if we stand up for what we are. Alas, though, billions of people are so stupid, they're going to let themselves be murdered in the next few years by these maniacs. And we can try to talk sense into some of them, but some of them don't want sense. They're completely blinded. We have to steel our souls against what is about to happen, because so many people we love are going to take the vaccine and destroy themselves. And then they'll wonder why it happened when we told them and warned them. So we need to keep warning people as much as possible now, but things are going to happen really rapidly now, because these governments aren't changing. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. They're getting more evil. They're getting more asphyxiated with this thing. Because these people have lost all light. They love darkness. And we have to be the children of light and act in an entirely different way. Meaning we have to work for the liberty of people. But that doesn't mean we can't fight. Okay? And this is something we have to recognize is our duty, our mission in this hour. And the more I say the truth, the darker they turn this video, if you notice. And so now it's getting really dark, and I'll salute you. Stay free, stay close to Christ, say your prayers, but be prudent now. Things are going to get bad, and don't pretend that nothing's happening, okay? Prepare yourself.
Boy, that's the thing. Two things. That's what we have to be concerned most about is self-deception, folks. Mark Trump even spoke about that a little bit yesterday. The whole reality, really, of what might be setting at our door that we don't understand. We don't understand the depth of the evil. We don't understand the depth of the control of the dark side, especially Satanus, Satan himself, empowering and controlling what's going on. This, something's happening here. It's coming to a head, and most of us still are not aware of the seriousness of it. Number two, can somebody explain to me, why would that video be pulled down? You're not allowed to speak your opinion about the Masons, the Masonic world, not allowed to talk about it. Who made the decision to pull that thing down? That's the kind of things that we're dealing with. A couple of hands up. Tim's hands up. Well, go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, I just wanted to say, think about this. It's the same kind of nonsense they did with Twitter, and that poor kid, a 13-year-old kid, was being sexually exploited on Twitter, and Twitter refused to pull it down because it said it didn't violate their terms of service. Imagine that, Coach.
Yeah. What are their terms of service? That's something we ought to be asking ourselves, right, brother? Our terms of service. And I just say to my friends, truth, I don't want to get real, real deep here on, I'm not prepared. It's not that I don't want to. Not real prepared to get all into the whole Masonic thing, right? But friends, listen. I believe they call those places a temple, don't they? Isn't it a Masonic temple?
Yes.
A temple? Hey, folks, a temple? Words mean things, don't they? Words mean things. Joanne, did you want to come in? You had your hand up there, and I didn't get to you in time. I'll give you a chance to come rolling in here if you want to, followed by Craig and then Rochelle. Joanne, yes or no? Doesn't matter. Rochelle, come on in. I know you want in. Joanne, go ahead. Michelle, go ahead.
Go ahead,
Joanne.
Thank you. I think I was answered, but I just wanted to be able to grab that video. Is there a way to do it?
Spencer. Well, it's on our website. It's on our website. But I'll be honest with you. That's one of the things I want to talk to Jared about. Sometimes those things are hard to find. So, Spence, if you could, can you copy and put that thing in the chat for us?
I didn't.
So they can get it.
How do you find
it? This video is available on our website under Coach's Videos, I think is where you find it.
I guess I need to have a tutorial how to get it out of your website.
Just go to Coach Live and search for Priest.
I'll ask later after you're done.
Okay, listen, all you got to do is go to Coach Dave Live, search for Priest. Then when it pops up, folks, just highlight up in the box, just up in the top in the box, just highlight, click, copy and paste, and you can put it wherever you want to put it, okay? So that's available there. That's a good question.
Thank you.
We have to somehow make this stuff a little bit easier to get access to, right? Okay, let's go to Craig. Craig and then Rochelle. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, Coach.
Craig, I want you to know I always appreciate your insight, brother. Don't ever feel like you're overstepping your bounds. Always appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that encouragement. That's why when Steve Deck and myself and John and I think RJ, the other gentleman, we went to that Masonic Temple Lodge.
When we were in Washington, D.C., and we prayed on the four corners of Washington, D.C., Craig and some of those guys went to the old, maybe not the oldest, but the head Masonic Lodge there in Washington, D.C. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was the shrine. And until the depth of the Masonic influence into the beginnings of our government are very profound. And I would just encourage folks to go to YouTube before they take this one down, but from Walter Martin, which was the Bible answer man, if you remember him back in the day, he was an apologetist, and he just type in Freemasonry and Walter Martin, and he has a dialogue with a Christian man named Luther, who is a Freemason, and Walter Martin is like the ultimate of lawyers, and he dissects Freemasonry to this Christian man and shows him why he can't be a member of that. And it's very, very profound. So I would encourage.
Hey, Craig, do you remember, do you folks all remember the night before John F. Kennedy was assassinated? He was speaking about secret societies. Does anybody remember that speech? Maybe I should dig that thing up. Spencer, we'll see how good you are. See if you can find that video of John F. Kennedy, the speech on secret societies that got him killed.
Coach.
Got him killed. Yeah, Silver.
My father was at that meeting, and he was virtually in shock by what he was hearing concerning secret societies and things like that. He was the president of the Electrical Union at that time, and that next day killed him. I mean,
the evil always operates in secret, don't they, Joseph? They always open. Now they're coming out. Come out wherever you are, but the enemy operates in secret. Man, a lot of people. Rochelle, then Paul Webb. Rochelle, then Paul Webb.
Okay,
then Larry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. 4 days ago, I posted these three stories in order on our social page. The first one had to do with a millionaire booking 446 cabins up in Canada for 2 months starting February 23rd. The second one was that FEMA is going to help now with distributing the vaccine so they can get it up 1.5 million doses per day. And then the third one was a FedEx facility that had 180 pallets stacked 4 high and 3 wide with cadaver bags. So I did the math, and that was 648,000 body bags at that one FedEx facility. And then, I don't know, just put it together.
Amen. Real quickly, before Silver, real quickly, because I'm in my car, read what's on the screen right now, John Kennedy, what he said about secret society. Spencer, I'm going to give you a medal to put on your chest for finding that so quickly. What did he say there?
Okay. I refer first to the need for far greater public information, and second, to the need for far greater official secrecy. The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society, and we are as a people inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it.
Amen.
Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuing the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is a very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
Wow.
That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it is in my control, and no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know.
Bang! The next day. Bang! The next day. Hey, folks, what was that secret society that George W. Bush was part of? Anybody remember what that was? Come on, somebody help me out.
Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones. Wasn't his daddy part of Skull and Bones? Yeah, there aren't any secret society. I'm sure that John Brennan's not part of any secret society. No. No. James Comey? No. No way. Wake up, folks. I don't know how I got on this, but it's pretty good, isn't it?
You got to remember, remember too, Coach, their number's 322, which is March 22, which is the date the Guidestones were initiated. March 22, 1980.
Come on in, Larry, then Paul. I may have you guys backwards. Larry, then Paul.
Yeah, I just want to say that, you know, that guy that said he had the conversation with a Christian about the Masons and all that, he's making the same mistake that we continually make, and I do it too. And that is, we refer to false and fake Christians as Christians, and that just enforces the in other people's minds what Christians are. And we've got to make ourselves understand that and stop doing it. After all, when the people showed up in front of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, and he ended up telling most of them to leave him, he didn't know them, the most he told that to were claiming they lived their lives for him. So we cannot accept that fake Christians are Christians, and we should stop referring to them as such.
Larry, I'm going to get a button made that I can just push every day. Because you're right on. I know you just continue to remind us of that. But come on in, Paul.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you remember back on January 6th when all that happened, and then Schumer got up there and started speaking, he said something that I caught. He said, they came into this sacred temple, referring to the Capitol. And I was like, okay.
Schumer's not part of any secret society. You guys are all conspiracy theorists. Nancy Pelosi, she's part of a secret society called Congress. I'd say that. Come on in, Jack McCarthy, then Mark Trump, and then Barnett. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, one of the things we have to remember, if you're out there looking like you guys, like we are, they operate in secret. But they telegraph. They always tell us what they're going to do because of their arrogance. But we're usually watching the skinny icicle instead of really paying attention, right?
That's right. That's right. They always target what they're going to do. Come on in, Mark.
All right. I was going to add on to what Craig brought up. Do y'all know also what March 23rd is, March 22nd? All right, there was a great eclipse, September 23rd of 2017, Coach, is when I met you out in Boise.
That's right.
Three and a half years from the great eclipse, is March 22nd.
That was the Revelation 12 sign too, Mark. That was that Revelation 12 sign.
Yes, I was there. We met Scotty Clark. But from March 22nd until the next great eclipse, which is going to cross the Madrid fault line, is 3.5 years away in 2024.
Wow. Stop
we're
that.
3.5 years. We're right in the middle. Not to say God does things in cycles and uses, you know, periods of time like he does everywhere.
This times is and I'm seasons. Times and seasons. That's right. There you go. Times and seasons. He's a God of order. Oh, my goodness. Come on in. Is it Raj Bennett? Come on in then, Jack. I'm sorry, Jack. May I have you guys backwards? Come on in, Raj. My computer's running low. Jack, come on in. We'll wait on Raj if he can figure it out. Come on in, Jack. Jack, are you there? Come on in, Rochelle.
Okay, I thought of this before, that all of the Satan would use all of these demonic societies to his benefit, and then in the end he would let them all, you know, kind of turn against each other, break each other down, and then he's going to emerge as the hero. Just a thought.
Well.
Because they are already eating their own.
And they call it conspiracy theory. See, when we begin to discover stuff, they poo-poo us, laugh us back into the corner, right? Who are you? Quit sticking your head up. Shut up. That's not true. Conspiracy theorists. Yada, yada, yada,
that's
yada.
What they do.
Somebody trying
that's
to get
what
in.
They do.
I'm running out.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, it's Randy in Oklahoma.
Hey, Randy.
I mentioned, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Field McConnell, who's a lieutenant colonel currently under house arrest in Florida for a trial where he was extradited for cyber stalking. Now, Field has been one of the foremost whistleblowers, and actually he was taking action. This show is about taking action. And the thing is, they've got him in house arrest where he cannot blow the whistle on these events, such as what Rochelle was talked about with the body bags being stacked, these mass casualty events that they love to put on the public. And what Field would do, he would take preemptive action. And what he would do is go to a FBI field office, notify them ahead. This is about to happen. We're seeing this now. He'd send it out on his show. It's a lot like this. It was a highly interactive show. And he'd go to the Phoenix FBI, the Atlanta FBI. He would tell them, this is what, you know, my people are, here's what we know is going to happen. That way they're held guilty because you've given advance and public notice of what's about to happen. So that's the method that we need to use when we see these things coming about, is to tell the FBI. And that puts them on the hook, as you would understand. And the second thing with the FBI is never talk to them in your home. Don't ever let them in. They're a criminal organization. So deal with them. They're a weapon to be wielded against the deep state, but not ever, you know, don't bring them into your trust for any reason.
Amen. I learned that lesson the hard way. Don't ever talk to the police, even if you, I'm just telling you. Do it if you want to.
That's why, Dave, us dastardly lawyers are important. I know that the members of the Q oftentimes move in the other direction, but us dastardly lawyers should always be present when any detective, FBI, the utility water guy is talking to you.
That's right, man. Call your lawyer. Say, yeah, I'll talk to you, but not without a lawyer. Roz, are you still trying to get in? And unknown, are you still trying? We try. We're equal opportunity employers here. We try to let everybody get their word in.
Yep.
No? Yes? Go ahead, Larry. You popped in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, hey, Roger, I appreciate what you're saying, but there's a caveat to that. Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you got ungodly lawyers. If somebody's, FBI's at your door, you better hope you know a Christian lawyer close by. And those are few and far between. I know about three across the whole United States.
Amen, Larry.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm trying to be a good host, get everybody in here wants to say something. Myra. Oh, my sweetheart, Myra. Come on in.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. I'm just so grateful to see each one of you every single morning. You keep me going. I love you all. That's all.
Amen. And Myra, listen, and I say to everybody out there, folks, don't take it as fact because I said it. Do your own investigations, okay? On everything. I just try to bring a potpourri. It's a word I learned. I just try to bring a variety of stuff to open our eyes to the forces of darkness that are swirling round about us. Some of you maybe are members of some type of secret society, they want to call it that, to take a secret oath. And you say, well, I go there all the time, and those are great guys. And yeah, well, okay. Maybe they are. But I think a lot of it's just like government. The higher up you get, the more wicked it becomes. Men love power. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When you get reach a place where you do not have to give an account to anybody for your actions, that becomes a very, very dangerous place. And it's my understanding that all of these secret societies, whatever that term even means, operate the same. The people at the top, just like the government, do not have the same values of those below them. You get elevated not because of your goodness. You get elevated because, I don't know why, I've never been part of a secret society in my life. I am. I'm a kingdom of God. Sadly, that's not supposed to be secret. I'm in the army Amen. Of God. That's not a Amen. Secret society, folks. But we've made it one, haven't we? We've made it a secret society. Jeff Nell. Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. I went to visit a called Agape Church School. That's the actual title. And I got the tour of the place. And I had a discussion with the principal, who's a retired pastor, stuff this way. And in one of the rooms, they had John 15, 17 through 19. And it's regarding that if the world hates you, you know they hated me before they hated you. It was encouraging that they give some instruction of these young children. There were 64 of them they had in student population. And it was just amazing. But this one flaw, they focus on a narrow sliver of the Word of God. And I talked to him about to teach on faith, promises, faith, justification, sanctification. Under that explanation, that will give the children the ability to withstand and stay firm on God. And so if they go off to college, they won't be persuaded, become an atheist or lukewarm. Thank you.
Well, they're going to be, yeah, I'm with you. If you go to college, that's going to happen. You know, I was going to do a show this morning. I want you to think about this. If somebody were to sit you down and say, hey, Myra, hey, Jeff, hey, Jack, do me a favor. How about writing down characteristics of how I would know someone is a Christian? That'd be an interesting list, wouldn't it? That would be an interesting list. If you sat down with everybody in your church and everybody had to make a list of how you would recognize a Christian, that'd be a list, wouldn't it? That would be something to see. And I was thinking as that thought came to me, golly, if I was going to make a list, what would it look like? And what would my list look like as compared to maybe pastor that I sat under for 20 years or whatever, or a new generation coming along here at this movie place? What kind of Christian, what would their characteristics of a Christian be? And I think that we have a real identity crisis here in America on what Christians are and what Christians do. Jack, come on in. Rochelle, follow Jack. Go ahead. Bow down here.
Hey, Coach, I find it fascinating that for the last 35 years, we've been talking about and trying to teach people, enlighten people about the whole Masonic order issue. And it rises and people get excited and begin to see the truth. And then it just gets squashed or it goes away or it's boring. I don't know. But about every 3 to 5 years, suddenly someone like you or Mike Heath or who knows brings it up and people start to realize the depth of the evil, and then it gets squashed. It just goes away. And then people are arguing about it, and then it just goes away. And every time you try to enlighten people, it just comes out, and suddenly it's gone again. I've watched that for over 35 years.
Then the YouTube video is pulled down, right, Jack? It's the way they do it. Go ahead, Rochelle, then Glenn. Rochelle, then Glenn.
I just wanted to echo Myra's remark. She has such a lovely heart. We need more people like her. And I feel the same way about all of you guys in the queue. We come here. Listen, I get so much encouragement here. We deal daily with being discouraged. And something that me and my mom are both struggling with is that what we can do is stand in the way. And it's going to look like defeat to us. It's going to look like defeat, but it's victory. That's so hard for us to accept. We feel like we have to win. We have to win. It's going to look like a win, but it's not going to look like a win. And when you feel like you've been defeated, know that that's not how it works in God's economy. He sees you as a winner. Amen. We may not be able to stop these people, but we stand in their way.
We're going to fight them anyway. Come on in, Glenn.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Glenn, I'm in Texas and you're in Ohio. Upside down world. Yeah. Go ahead.
How about that? The more and more I find myself praying for wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 4:5-9 for the day in which we live. We just need more wisdom and understanding just to know what to do.
Amen. Amen, Glenn.
The Bible says, for all you're getting, get knowledge, and with knowledge, wisdom. Well, we can use a dose of that, couldn't we? And I was making the comment yesterday. Amen. I was making the comment yesterday about all these guys that have all these likes on Facebook and YouTube, all that kind of stuff, you know. And we're chasing knowledge. We're not chasing wisdom, right? I know people send me emails and say, look at this video. Look at this video. It's all information. But it's not necessarily wisdom. And so we have to be able to have our tuning hooks up, our discerners up, that we can recognize the truth from a lie, because there is so much deception at loose in America today, man. So much different going on.
Amen.
I pray that the Holy Spirit will, in fact, guide us into all truth. I just saw a miracle right here as I sat here. My computer made it. My computer's blinking. No time left on my computer. I guess it's time for me to say goodbye. Pray for my grandson, will you, for Davy? He's probably in there right now. Lord, protect that little prophet. Protect him, Lord. Jesus' name. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.